What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it's Friday, and Tarek Skubal is still with the Detroit Tigers, like I assumed he would be. You know, they haven't been playing well, so a lot of people are assuming he's going to get traded. And I wouldn't be shocked if he gets traded, but gotta say, I just, for some reason, feel like this dude's still going to be a Detroit Tiger when it's all said and done. Just as long as he doesn't go to the motherfucking Dodgers. Honestly, that's the way I see it. If he stays with the Tigers, cool. If he gets traded anywhere, please, please, Detroit, do not trade him to the Dodgers. Can we please stop giving the Dodgers all the great players? It's just pissing me off. So he better not end up in a Dodger uniform. That's all I'm saying, but we'll see what happens. He's still a Detroit Tiger today, and the trade deadline is on Monday, so things could change over the weekend, but still, so far, no blockbuster trades have blown up this week, but who knows, maybe over the weekend, some things will get moving. But so far, all of the big names that I've mentioned so far, they are still staying put, including Tarek Skubal. So let's talk about the rest of the week of baseball and what went on. Beginning on Monday, the Chicago Cubs took down the St. Louis Cardinals 7-3, and Alex Bregman has been hot. He's finally been the Alex Bregman of old. You know, he started off this season ice fucking cold. But so far, this second half of the season, Bregman has been on fire, especially the last couple of weeks. He went 4-for-5 in this one with a home run and 2 RBI. Nico Hoerner also went 4-for-5 with a home run and 4 RBI. So this was just an ass-kicking from the Chicago Cubs, and definitely needed it over their division rival, St. Louis Cardinals. Then also on Monday, the Houston Astros took down the Los Angeles Angels 6-4. They had a 4-run ninth inning. That's how the Astros were able to get this one. As a matter of fact, they had 10 batters score or 10 batters get on base, but only one hit in this entire time because there was a whole bunch of walks, hit by pitch, and just a bunch of errors that basically got a bunch of guys on base, and then eventually the Houston Astros were just able to take over and get the win in this one. Christian Javier, you know, he's had a very injury-prone season and really has just been kind of trying to find his way back since he came back from the injured list. This was probably his best outing of the season, 5 innings pitched with 7 strikeouts, and a suddenly streaking Houston Astros team. I mean, Yordan Alvarez, I haven't really talked about him because for me, especially on my top 10 power rankings days, I am only talking about the good teams because I just don't feel like wasting my time on the shitty teams. And you have to get going for me to actually talk about you. But Yordan Alvarez has been having a MVP caliber year. We haven't been able to talk about him much this year. But this Houston Astros team, they are starting to get going. And I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up taking this division because their division is in such disarray. The Mariners don't want it. The Rangers don't want it. So it's like, there's the Astros, the good old Astros. They know how to win. They know how to get into the playoffs. So don't be shocked if you see those Astros end up taking this division. And Yordan Alvarez, though, just killing it this year. Then also on Monday, the Boston Red Sox took down the, almost called them the Oakland A's, the Sacramento A's, 4-2. And this one, they were actually losing all the way through until I think it was the 7th inning when Rafaela came up to bat and hit a grand slam for the Boston Red Sox to take the win in this one, 4-2. Then on Tuesday, the Detroit Tigers, they demolished the Baltimore Orioles 14-0. As a matter of fact, this was a game that was so rare that this just doesn't really happen, where the Orioles didn't score a run at all, but the Tigers scored in every single inning of this game. Valencia went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs and 4 RBI in this one. And also on Tuesday, the Miami Marlins got the win over the Philadelphia Phillies 1-0. Sandy Alcantara pitched a gem in this one. Couldn't be scored on. 7 innings pitched. 5 strikeouts, still a Miami Marlin, by the way. And then Stowers actually had the only home run in this game, or the only run in this game, and he got it by home run. Then also on Tuesday, the New York Yankees took down the Chicago White Sox 3-2. And Cole, he is starting to get moving. He's been very solid for the most part this year, but he is looking good in these last couple of outings. And this one against the White Sox, he pitched a gem, 6 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts. And the Yankees starting pitching is just flat out phenomenal. It's just their defense towards the end of these games and their relief pitchers are starting to blow it. I know the stats aren't really showing it too much, but I've been watching a lot of these Yankees games, and just last night, their defense kind of let them down in that one. And then also on Tuesday, the Houston Astros got the win over the Los Angeles Angels 3-2. And I was just talking about Yordan Alvarez, and he had a home run in the ninth inning in this one, the game-winning home run in this one. And what was funny is the Angels were debating on walking him, and it looks like they should have walked him in this one. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the Angels are the worst team in the league, so it kind of feels like it doesn't matter what they would have done. They were still probably going to lose that one. Then on Wednesday, the Baltimore Orioles got the win over the Detroit Tigers in 12 innings. As a matter of fact, Wednesday had four games go into extra innings, so we're going to talk about all four of those games beginning with this one. But the Orioles got the win 10-9, and unfortunately, this could have been Tarek Skubal's last game with the Detroit Tigers, potentially. It was good for a while until it wasn't. He even had three earned runs when it was all said and done in this one. But he did end up getting his 1,000th career strikeout. So, cool. The Tigers fans definitely got their money's worth in that when they actually got to see something other than that epic collapse they ended up having. But he did go 6.2 innings in this one and six strikeouts total in this one for his 1,000th career. And then Couser actually had the game-winning run for the Orioles in this one. But like I said, this could potentially be Skubal's last game with the Tigers. But like I said, it's Friday and he is still a Detroit Tiger. Then on Wednesday, the Chicago White Sox took down the New York Yankees in 12 innings, 6-5. Cam Schlittler was also pitching a gem, and it was going well until it wasn't for him himself. He went 6.1 innings pitched with 8 strikeouts, and then towards the end of his pitching, a couple of guys got on base, and then they put the relief pitcher in, and then boom, it just went off from there. Antonacci had a home run, and I think it was 3-0 Yankees at this point, because I was watching this one. Pretty sure it was 3-0 Yankees, and then Antonacci hit a home run, so it was 3-2 Yankees, and then Murakami came right up and tied this shit up with a home run, went 3-3, and then that's when they went into extra innings, and Caro actually had the game-winning single in this one for the Chicago White Sox. Then also on Wednesday, another game that went into extra innings. The St. Louis Cardinals took down the Chicago Cubs in 10 innings, 3-2. PCA, he started this game. This game went into extra innings 0-0. This was a battle in this game, and it was whoever scoring. At first, the Cubs were excited because PCA hit the home run to lead the 10th inning, so it's looking like, all right, the Cubs are going to win this one. And then, the Cardinals were just able to get guys on base, and Herrera had the walk-off double in this one. And then Wednesday, the last game that went into extra innings was the Boston Red Sox versus the Sacramento A's. They went into 10 innings. The Red Sox got the win 4-2. Monasterio had the game-winning home run in the 10th inning. He actually had he went 3-for-4 that night with 2 RBI. And then Thursday, the Minnesota Twins had a crazy win over the Kansas City Royals. They got the win 4-3. But the craziness of it was Cody Clemens comes up to bat. He's got 2 outs, 2 strikes, hits a grand slam, game-winning grand slam for the Minnesota Twins in this one to get the win 4-3. And then also on Thursday, look out for the Braves, man. I was telling you earlier in the week, this team is starting to get hot. They're starting to get healthy, and this is the time of year when you start winning. If it rolls into the playoffs, that's a big deal, and the Braves now are starting to widen that gap once again between them and the Phillies, but they got the win over the Washington Nationals 5-4. Ronald Acuna Jr. hit his first home run back from the injured list, so he's probably just hoping, boom, that's the first of many to open the floodgates for him to start getting some hits. But Ozzie Albies actually had the big hit. He had 2 RBI and hit a double in the 7th inning to set the Braves up for the win with the 5-4 win. So it is officially football season, y'all. Training camps for everybody kicked off this week. Everybody has reported. All the rookies are there. All the starters are there. Every motherfucker is there. So let's talk about a couple of topics that are going on during training camp that I feel need to be discussed. So let's, of course, talk about with number one, because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. So we always going to be talking about my Dallas Cowboys on this show. And it's been a great offseason because it's been a drama-free offseason for the Cowboys. We don't have any major injuries that somebody's coming back from this offseason, so that's cool. We didn't have any major contract disputes. You know, the George Pickens thing kind of got solved really easily. I mean, they franchised him, yes, but he signed the franchise tag. He's not throwing any fits. Jerry Jones ain't throwing any barbs. It's looking like they're going to let him play this season out, and we'll have the contract dispute next year. But it's been a drama-free offseason for the Cowboys, y'all, and I think that's not a good thing for the rest of the league, because they've just been able to focus on football. They all look ready to go, and I know you guys are all, if you're not a Cowboys fan, you're thinking to yourself, oh, stupid Cowboys fan. Guess what, y'all? It's the beginning of the football season. We all get to have hopes and dreams right now at the beginning of training camp. Every single motherfucking fan gets hopes and dreams right now, and I'm just pointing out that it's been a drama-free offseason for the Cowboys. And maybe that's going to bode well into a really solid regular season with a nice little playoff run and hopefully holding that Super Bowl trophy up at the end of the season. But we have us a long way to go because, like I said, football season just started this week. Next storyline, training camp storyline, Patrick Mahomes. He's coming off of an ACL injury. Actually, I think it's ACL, LCL. So I know it's a couple of ligaments down there. It was a terrible injury, of course. And he suffered it towards the end of the season. So, you know, rehab is still going, as a matter of fact. And they haven't confirmed if he's going to start the season off, even playing in week one. Obviously, you don't want to rush him back. This is Patrick Mahomes. He is your franchise quarterback, hopefully for the rest of his career, and hopefully for at least another 10-ish years, I would imagine. But this is a big deal type of injury because what people don't understand when it comes to your ACL, LCL, MCL, those type of injuries, you really need kind of that push-off. And Mahomes is great on the run. That's kind of his thing, is he's just able to have those improvised plays where he's just running around, and then he just finds the open dude. The open dude's just able to magically just catch the ball, do his job in some way, shape, or form. But that's what Mahomes is known for. So the interesting thing that's going to happen is whenever he comes back, whether it be week one or week four, he's definitely coming back at some point this season. I don't think he's going to miss more than a month, to be quite frank. That's just the way I see it. I won't be shocked if he starts week one. But the thing that's going to be interesting to watch is how long does it take for him to get his legs under him? Because that is a big deal. And no matter who you are, it takes time to come back from a difficult injury like that. And so I don't expect Mahomes to be typical Patrick Mahomes to start. I expect it to probably take him at least 4 to 6 weeks to kind of get his feet back under him, get his confidence back there. And then you take a look at this Chiefs roster, not a very impressive roster at all. Yes, they did add Kenny Walker III at running back, which I think is a great boost for the offense. But the wide receiver position, not very impressive in my opinion for them. I kind of feel like their offensive line, not very good. And that's very scary when you have your quarterback coming back from such a debilitating injury where you need him to actually be standing upright throughout the season. So I actually, I'm not getting to any of my NFL predictions just yet because, I mean, for me, there's a lot of time in between now and the beginning of the season, which is in the beginning of September, I think the second week of September, September 8th, I believe. But so we've got a lot of time to see how things develop, but I just kind of feel like the Chiefs, their defense is not going to be as good as it's been over the last couple of seasons. Their offense is going to be meh, and you have Mahomes coming off of injury. So I'm not really expecting much from the Chiefs as a whole this year, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Patrick Mahomes. Like I said, I will not be surprised if he starts week one. I won't be surprised if it doesn't take him that long to get his legs back under him. I just think the issue is going to probably be that offensive line, and are they going to be able to keep him healthy? Because that's going to be a big deal for them. Then the next training camp storyline I have is defensive tackle Vita Vea. He's been having A big contract dispute with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as has Baker Mayfield. But Baker Mayfield's playing and not holding out. As a matter of fact, man, Baker Mayfield's been typical Baker Mayfield this offseason. You know, he and the Bucs kind of were going back and forth about a long-term contract extension, and they didn't really want to give him the numbers that he's looking for. And he even said they're going to regret it because he's going to go off this year, and they're going to owe him some money at the end of the year. So I like that he's betting on himself, but for Vita Vea, it's a little bit different. And, you know, he's been one of the most consistent defensive tackles since the day he's been drafted into the league. So and he's a huge driving force for this Tampa Bay Bucs defense. But I think that's kind of why they're at the impasse that they are, is because the Bucs probably in the long run are going to end up giving Baker the money. And if you ask me, if I'm choosing between a franchise quarterback and a franchise defensive tackle, I'm taking the franchise quarterback every time. So I just kind of feel like that's part of what's going on here with the Bucs. You know, also Vita Vea, he's had some injuries over the last couple of seasons as well. So I see that too, but he's also a great defensive tackle. So if he gets traded, whoever he goes to is getting a beast mode player. But you know, the Bucs, they might want to hang on to him as well. But at the same time, it doesn't look like that's kind of where we're at, but who knows what's going to happen. But Vita Vea, he may or may not be a Tampa Bay Buc at the beginning of the season, but we'll see how long things battle out between him and the front office. Then the next NFL training camp storyline is this is definitely 100% for sure going to be Aaron Rodgers' last season in the NFL. So this is his last hurrah, no matter what happens, whether he goes out due to injury, whether he goes out with a Super Bowl win. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, the thing about this Steelers team is they have a new coach since Mike Tomlin stepped down last year. Mike McCarthy is now taking over. And I think that's a good thing for Aaron Rodgers because Rodgers has already worked with McCarthy. He already knows what McCarthy's all about. So I think that that's fine on the Aaron Rodgers side of things. It's just like I just look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team and there's a lot of questions. And I just don't really know if this is going to be a Super Bowl-bound team. Like I said, I haven't really gone over the rosters or really anything, and I need a lot of things to develop over the next month or so for me to really start thinking about my predictions. But Rodgers, for sure, is going to be going out this year. So I expect him, although I always expect him, to go out there and give it his all. You know, he's definitely going to be looking to go out on a high note, definitely going to be looking to win a Super Bowl. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Steelers season wears on. But it's also going to be bittersweet because my thing on players, especially like Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame bound player, 100%. He is the most accurate, precise quarterback of all time. That's not even a question. There's legitimate stats that show he is the most precise quarterback of all fucking time. Watching Aaron Rodgers throw a football is beautiful. I love watching him throw the ball just because it's so precise and it just goes exactly where it's supposed to go. Even when he's not 100%, he's throwing the ball with pure, precise accuracy. So to me, it's just going to be, you know, watch the last season of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I always respect these type of dudes, whether they played for my team or not. If you know it's their last season or you know they're kind of at the tail end of their career, I personally like to savor it. I personally like to watch it and enjoy it. And let's just see what Aaron Rodgers has in his last season. And if it ends with the Super Bowl, good for you, dude. And if it doesn't, so fucking what? You are obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer. And then the last training camp storyline I have is another injury to another top caliber quarterback, and that is Bo Nix. How is he going to recover from the injury that he suffered in last year's playoffs? Actually, not last year. In this year, he suffered his injury. I think it was in January, February? It was around then. I think it was in January when he suffered the crazy broken ankle injury. It wasn't just a little tiny crack. It was a debilitating, terrible injury where you just saw his leg flopping around, basically, when it was all said and done. But this is another one where it looks like he is actually going to be starting week one. This is his third season, and he's a young guy. He's also a dude who has actually suffered tons of debilitating injuries, even throughout his college career. So this isn't anything new to Bo Nix, but at the same time, like I said, it's going to be the same thing that I was just talking about with Patrick Mahomes. How long is it going to take for him to get his legs under him? And then with this Denver Broncos team, do we know what we're going to get? Now, they did add Waddle off of in the offseason, another wide receiver, and a good solid weapon for Bo Nix. So I think that's a good addition to the team and definitely going to help him out. But they also are missing some pieces as well on this team. But it's really just, what's he going to look like coming back from this injury? Is this going to be another one where it's going to take him a couple of weeks to kind of, or about a month to kind of get his legs under him, if you will? Because Bo Nix is another mobile quarterback who's known for his improvisation skills. He's not the same as Patrick Mahomes when it comes to improvising, but he has had some big, big moments, and it's come from him running. Even in college, that's kind of his thing. It's improvising on the run and then just getting the open guy and making the big play, and that's what Bo Nix does. I mean, shit, that's actually the type of play he got injured on, was a play where he was improvising. I'm almost positive. I know it was a big play that he got injured on, and I'm almost positive he was improvising and throwing the ball, and it completed in the end. But, you know, it takes, I mean, these type of injuries are a big fucking deal. And sometimes it takes the entire season to really work your way back, because if you put yourself in the shoes of these athletes, they're always... It's that first hit, and you gotta kind of remove your thought process on, oh my God, is that guy getting near my knee? Is that guy getting near my ankle? Oh my God, if I cut this way, is that going to tear my ACL again? Or if I get tackled this wrong way, am I gonna break my ankle again? It's like, that's kind of the mental shit they gotta get over. And I think that is probably the biggest thing that they have to get over in that process. And I think that's what holds them back. But then also, like I said, the physical aspect of it too, then you gotta, because like I said, sometimes you got to work at that push off, or sometimes that push off never comes back and you have to like alter your game because of that injury. So we'll see what happens with both Mahomes and Bo Nix, and actually a few other guys who are coming off of major injuries from last year. But those were the two that really struck me, just because they are leaders on their team and they were huge injuries towards the end of the season. And honestly, I'm kind of actually shocked that it looks like Bo Nix is going to play week one, just because, like I said, he got injured not even like 6 months ago and the dude's coming back. So, I mean, good on you. If you can make it back, good for you, dude. I'm not going to hold you back. It's your body, your choice. Do what the fuck you want. But you just never know what's going to happen. And like I said, those mental hurdles are going to be difficult, as well as the physical hurdles that the both of them and any other guys coming back from injury are going to have to get over. But those are some training camp storylines that I thought we could touch on, because it's so fantastic that it is finally football season, y'all. We got preseason coming up. Is it next week when it's the Hall of Fame game? I think next weekend is the Hall of Fame game. So, I mean, we already are going to be getting some preseason football, even though it's just, you know, the Hall of Fame game is such a snooze fest because, you know, it's all the, like, third string players playing on that game. But, oh well, football season has begun. Training camp is where it's at. And then once preseason rolls on, ooh, we are in full-on football mode, and I am ready for it. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports. Sporks. No, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.